Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with a mover and shaker in the entertainment world. Joining me today, all the way from the Emerald Isle, is classic rocker Bernie Torme from the band GMT. But
hello, son.
Before I bring Bernie into the fray, let's hear a track from GMT. This is track one from their latest CD, Evil Twin, and this, if I can find it, is Punko Rocco. Certainly shake the cobwebs out of your brain. Hi, Bernie, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Simon. I'm glad to be here. That's a racket, isn't it?
So, you live in Ireland.
I do.
Yeah, is that where you were born, or...
Yes.
But I understand... Yeah, I understand you also lived in England for a while in the 70s.
In the 70s, I moved across because, you know, I was a kind of an aspiring child guitarist. Well, perhaps not a child, but there wasn't a great amount happening in Ireland in the late 70s because of the kind of grief in the north, you know. So I came to England to... play, basically. I just, you know, I was a complete obsessive, really. I was only interested in playing rock and roll.
Right. Actually, you're the second musician that I've interviewed recently from the Emerald Isle. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to talk with Kevin Godley, of 10cc fame.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He has made his
own. I didn't know he was Irish. I never knew he was Irish.
He's not. He just fell in love with the place and decided.
Right.
To stay.
Okay. He's an honorary Irishman. He's a kind of like.
That's right. But I mean, anyone that can play decent music should get honorary membership wherever they want to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can only agree.
So maybe we could start with a little history. Tell us about GMT. Who's in it, and how did it come into being?
Basically, I suppose GMT happened because of my even dark and more distant past. In the 70s, after I came to England, I played in a band called Scrapyard, which was a pub band, the kind of pre-punk kind of pub band, because I was also a punk later on, with John McCoy, who's a bass player. And I later on played with John in a band called Gillen, which was with this singer out of Deep Purple, Ian Gillan. And in Europe, we had a lot of hits. And basically, GMT was John and I getting together again and forming a band. And at that time, we tried to find a drummer, and happened on a drummer called Robin Guy, who had played with Faith No More and Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden. And it was a marriage made in hell, really, or in heaven. It was just a chemistry kind of thing. It was just enjoyable, really. All of us loved it, you know. So that's how GMT happens, you know. It rocked really instantly.
I believe it was formed in 2001, somewhere around there.
Oh no, it was later. It was actually 2006.
Oh really?
So basically, we've only been together just about 2.5 years. Done two albums, loads of touring, and we're all still talking. That's positive anyway.
Oh yeah, I mean that's definitely a plus in the music industry.
Absolutely, yeah. There's an awful lot of bands I've been in that people aren't talking after 2 years.
Oh yes, I've interviewed many people who can attest to that fact. You've had a very long and illustrious music career. I understand that for a while you worked with Ozzy Osbourne. That must have been a fairly interesting adventure.
It was, it was extremely interesting. I love Ozzy. Ozzy's a great guys fall to the earth, you know, kind of just a prince among people. He really is, you know. After Randy Rhoads was killed in a plane crash, which was a completely tragic event, they called up and asked if I'd stand in. And at the time, I had an awful lot of other obligations. I had a recording contract over here, and I had a tour over here, and I wanted to help out, and I was glad to help out. Only I was only able to do so briefly. It was a great experience playing with Ozzy and the band. I mean, Ozzy's just, you know, he's Ozzy. You can't really say anything else. He's a lawn to himself, really, you know.
And you mentioned earlier that you were involved with Ian Gillan.
Yeah, that's right.
Purple. Is he a fun guy to work with?
I mean, to me, you know, joining Ian, it, you know, I built a name out of it. You know, it was, you know, he was a hero. You know, it was like, oh God, I'm playing, you know, with the guy who's playing Smoke on the Water, and you know, Child in Time. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. And you know, at the time, I was 22 or whatever. I was, you know, pretty young. And it was a great experience, you know. The band, in terms of the business end of it, was a tiny bit chaotic. And there was an awful lot of petty arguments about who got paid and who didn't, as often happens in rock and roll, you know.
Man. Yes.
I mean, it was a great experience, and Ian's a lovely bloke, you know. I can't praise him highly enough. He's a great thing, a great guy, you know.
And I guess, a professional reviewer, seeing
yes.
as that's what I do, I listen to an awful lot of music, and in my mind, there are live bands and there are studio bands.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure you're a live band. I mean,
I think that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, the new CD just exudes stage energy. Are you happiest on stage?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I would have to say that in, you know, my career, which has probably been too long, I must admit, you know, I've, you know, been through the whole, you know, situation of, you know, playing in bands who are trying to do a production album, and, you know, being obsessed with the production end of the whole thing. In my kind of old age, my rock and roll old age, as it is, I actually feel the magic part of it is how people play. And I think the more you kind of produce it and try and organize it, it's sort of like, you know, it adds something, only it also takes an awful lot away. So basically, the whole GMT project has been to make it sound how we play live. You know, it is about how we basically play. It isn't actually trying to make it sound like anyone else's produced record. It's almost going back the early, like, rock and roll kind of ethos of Elvis Presley playing in, you know, Stone in Memphis and all of that. It's just as it is. It's kind of documented artery as opposed to art, really. But,
right.
I mean, as you say, I mean, live to all of us, that's all it's about. You know, it is actually about how you play at that point in time. And you can have gigs that, you know, possibly aren't as great as every other gig, but you have gigs that are, you know, just 200 times better than any recording as well, you know.
Right.
It is about, you know, that, the magic instant, really. And I mean, I think that's basically all rock and roll really ought to be about.
People love to categorize music, to put labels on things. It's just the nature of the game. Where do you see GMT? Is it hard rock? Is it metal? Maybe even punk?
Well, it's probably all of it. I don't know, really. I mean, I've always kind of left, you know, the pigeonholes up to other people. Personally think, I mean, you know, if I'm to describe it, it's rock and roll. I don't actually, it probably is harder rock and roll than, you know, every rock and roll, but I mean, I don't know, really. It's just like noisy and, you know, it has energy. And I mean, I love punk, I love hard rock, I love metal, I love all of it, and I love Frank Sinatra too, so. But I don't think that that'll, you know, ever turn up on a GMT album, really.
Okay, on that note, I think we should take a little musical break here, and I want to play another track from your album Evil Twin. Holy Roller.
Hey, yeah.
Let's go.
great stuff. So is it mainly Ireland that you play in, or do you venture further afield?
Oh, no, no. Oh, yes. I mean, it is actually generally mostly England we play in. Also Europe and Ireland, of course, you know, too. But predominantly in the past 2 years, I suppose it's been mostly the UK, you know, that we've played a lot in, really, you know.
And any chance of seeing you on this side of the pond?
We have been talking to people, and there is a kind of a prospect of us possibly coming across and invading the US at the end of the year, but it's a bit early to tell at the moment. I hope it happens, you know, because it'd be great to deafen a few people over there, really.
So, what's next for GMT? More albums? More tours?
We're looking at playing touring over here in Europe in the next few months. Hopefully, have a new album out end of the year. Possibly early next year. We also are planning a DVD. We have a lot of live stuff recorded. That'd be nice, you know, to get out, because it's in terms of people, you know, who haven't seen us play live, it'd be great, you know, if they were able to see us on, you know, how it is, you know.
Right. This morning, I was looking at Wikipedia, that
yeah.
well-known source of misinformation.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. I looked you up. you've played with a lot of people.
Yes.
Approximately how many albums have you been on in your career? It must be a pretty big number.
I've never counted. I mean, you know, it's a strange kind of a thing. I obviously have a psychological kind of, you know, problem about it, but I can't actually sit down and count the albums I've played on. I suppose it's probably heading towards 30-ish albums.
Well, that is not too shabby.
No, it's not. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, the point is, if you play on them, you don't ever play them at home, or at least I don't, you know. I kind of always listen to other people. I don't ever listen to me, you know. So I'm a bit kind of vague about it.
I remember watching an interview with a folk singer. This was many, yeah. many years ago. And the question was asked, you know, when you're singing, you always have your finger in your ear. Now, I know the reason why people do that.
Yeah.
But the answer really blew me away. And it went along the lines of, it's because I can't stand half the rubbish I sing.
Bang on, really?
In GMT, is there a main writer, or is it a collaborative effort?
It's basically John and I. I suppose the last album, it was mostly me. The previous album, it was kind of pretty half-half. I mean, obviously, because I do the vocals and most of the lyrics, you tend to kind of end up with the lion's share, you know, of for writing. It's as it is. It's all been John and I. It's just different proportions, you know. So
right.
Yeah.
The internet has certainly changed the face of the music industry.
Absolutely.
Is the internet an important tool to GMT?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, at our inception, you know, we were, I suppose, you know, a classic kind of predictable, you know, old rockers, and it was like, well, give us a deal to all of these record labels. Basically, a year and a half, 2 years ago, all of the labels were starting to have big problems in terms of signing people because they hadn't the, you know, cash turnover, and they basically all said to us, yes, only we can't pay you. So we basically did it ourselves. And it was, you know, you end up marketing it on MySpace and on the web, and it's interesting. It's different, but it, for us, it's been great. You know, it's been, you know, you actually end up close to the people who you're selling to, and it's been, you know, it's been awfully punk, actually. And I think that that's, you know, I mean, genuine, authentic 70s English punk. You know, it's like you are close to your audience and you are almost a part of your audience. And
where can
that's been
people,
a great experience. You know?
Where can people find you online? This is where you get your plug.
Yes, it's www.gmtrocks.com, and on MySpace, www.myspace.com/gmtrocks.
Alrighty. And
yeah,
I'll tell our listeners this. If you go to the MySpace page, you can actually listen to several of the tracks of this album.
That's right, yeah.
The Try Before You Buy, and I do love that. And quite honestly, I think that is important in today's market. You know, the ability to give something a listen. Oh, I like that. You know, I want that on MP3 player.
Yeah.
I think
that's great too, you know, because it's, you know, in the past, I mean, obviously in the States it's always been different because you had a lot of radio channels. I mean, in the UK and, I mean, less Ireland, only in the UK. I mean, you basically only ever had one or two, and it's been so hard to hear things, you know, to hear new bands or kind of new songs or whatever. It's great. It's all happening online. People can actually check out new music and new bands. I think that's great.
Yeah, I'm in the US. What I'm seeing is a gradual death to traditional radio. We have more shows than or more radio stations than you can shake a fist at, but they're owned by a relatively small number of companies. And in cost-saving measures, you know, they've consolidated playlists. So it's next to impossible for anyone to get on a playlist, you know, and unless you already have a top 10 hit.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much how it's always been, I mean, over here. I mean, Ireland was different. Only Ireland has become, you know, just like that now. It's terribly chart-controlled, chart-centric or whatever, you know?
Right. The big music labels in the U.S. under the umbrella of the RIA, Recording Industry of American Association, and I know that Britain and Ireland has a similar org, but I can't remember the name of it, makes a lot of noise about music piracy and how the internet is ruining the industry. That doesn't sit well with me.
I agree. I don't think that's... I mean, you know, I can remember all of this going back to kind of cassette tapes, home taping is destroying music, you know. I mean, the point is that I think that people, you know, need music. If they don't need a music industry, that's a completely different issue, you know. And I mean, obviously, I'm a person who's been paid from the music industry, so it's difficult, you know. But I don't think that you can. I mean, I was awfully happy to hear about the iTunes thing of removing DRM on their tracks. You know, I think that's a positive thing. You have to let people share things. You know, it's somehow. You have to let it be alive rather than trying, you know, to control it and make cents or pennies out of everything, I think, anyway. You know.
Okay, I'm going to ask you an absolutely off-the-wall question. You have a son. Is he?
I have two.
You have two sons?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, once again, Wikipedia got it wrong.
And a daughter, actually, as well.
Oh, and a daughter. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Are any of them following in your musical footsteps?
Oh, yes. My eldest plays drums, my second plays guitar, and my daughter, who's 10, plays violin and is learning guitar, and all of them are, I mean, astounding. I mean, every dad is going to say that, but they are.
That's wonderful.
They're really good. And in fact, if anyone wants to check out High Two Stones playing in a band, they're on MySpace, and the band is Ali Barbaric. It's ALIBARBERIC.
Okay.
And they're great. They're really cool. You know?
I will make a point of checking them out. That they could be the next review.
Yeah, plenty of Hendrix tracks.
Bernie, alas, our time is up. I really want to thank you for taking time to sit down with us.
It was a pleasure, Simon.
Delightful. And I wish you and your family and GMT the very best.
Thank you.
In life.
And you.
Okay.
And to you.
Yep, and I'll talk to you again soon.
I hope so.
Goodbye.
Okay, take care, Simon. Bye.